We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Jesse, are you ready for rapid fire?
I am ready for some eclipse fire.
Let's do it. Here we go. So I asked Al Golden if Kingston Viliamu Asa could find himself a larger role than just special teams this season. And I just realized that I had not queued it up yet, but here is what Al Golden had to say about that.
He's on track to. He's an exceptional learner. He spends a lot of time at it. Like, he really, really works hard at it. And he's got a pro's mentality, meaning, like, he comes for that. To that day, he comes ready to go on the material that is being covered that day. And when it comes day after day, that's what helps him stay ahead of it. And so he's ultra competitive. He's got size. He's got lateral quickness. He can blitz inside. He can play the edge if we need him to do that. So he's doing a great job. I mean, he's really attacked this spring, and we'll see where it goes from there.
All right, so after hearing that, scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence KVA is going to get legit linebacker reps this season?
There was nothing there that really was like, yes, he's going to be he's going to be in the mix. Really, the thing I felt Al Golden highlighted.
He said he's on track to, though. That was the last thing that he said. And Al Golden is like if you look at, the difference in the personalities of the two, they're both – somewhat matter of fact, but obviously, you heard Mike Denbrock earlier. You just heard Al Golden. Golden is a little bit more, downplay pragmatic, whereas Denbrock, kind of adds a little spin to the things, I think, some of them.
I see what you're saying. I just feel like he kept highlighting on his versatility. And I think what I took is I don't think he'll be in a starter role, but I think he'll find himself in some packages that allow him to maybe not play, traditional Mike linebacker. Maybe he's in – because he if you play the clip back again, he kept highlighting he can come off the edge, he can blitz, he can do this, he's good at that. Like, I just think that shows if they need him for a specific instance on this package of, you know, this down or situation, I think he's going to find himself in those sort of roles. And so while I don't think he's going to get a ton of reps at like a true Mike linebacker, but I think he's going to be kind of plugged in here and there because of his versatility to do things across the board. If that makes sense. I'm putting it at an 8 out of 10.
All that, you go 8 out of 10. You made it sound like you were going to give it a 4 at the best. Way you talked your way around. I mean, like, you literally
did. I just don't think he's going to get starting reps. I don't think he's going to get Mike linebacker reps. I'm not saying
starting reps. Here was the question. The question that I posed and the question that I said, will he find himself in a larger role than just special teams? Not a starting role, just a larger role than special teams. I'm going to go ahead and play the clip again because you said if you play the clip,
he's on track to, he's an exceptional learner. He spends a lot of time at it. Like, he really, really works hard at it. And he's got a pro's mentality, meaning like he comes for that, to that day, he comes ready to go on the material that is being covered that day. And when it comes day after day, that's what helps him stay ahead of it. And so he's ultra competitive. He's got size, he's got lateral quickness. He can blitz inside. He can play the edge if we need him to do that. So he's doing a great job. I mean, he's really attacked this spring, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Okay, so I'm going 8 as well. You talked for like 5 minutes before you finally gave your 8 there in the end. But, you know, again, like, pros mentality, size, lateral, ultra competitive. First thing that he said is that, you know, basically he's trending in the direction that he is going to have a larger role than just special teams. And when you look at like the body that this guy has as a true freshman and his fit, you know, some of the physical things that we've already seen him done in, you know, limited practice windows and stuff like that. I mean, I do think he's going to be on virtually every special teams, you know, for Notre Dame this season. Drake Bowen is going to be the starting Mike linebacker, but I think KVA is going to be the number 2. And to what you were talking about, he is going to find himself in some of those, you know, down in distance and situational packages and stuff like that. You know, whether it's blitz inside, come off the edge, I think that they can do a lot of different things with KVA. So I came away like, you know, again, I expected sort of the standard, well, you know, he's an early enrollee and it's spring and we're only, you know, I think it's 8 practices in or something like that. So I haven't really seen enough to kind of make that kind of decision yet. But he was, you know, for as rosy as Al Golden is going to get, I thought he was pretty rosy in what he was saying about Kingston there. Didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And I think I misunderstood the question a little bit. I think he's definitely going to have a role outside of, you know, a special teamer. But in terms, I guess I was more so looking at it like, is he going to take time away from Drake Bowen? I just don't think he's going to do that.
No.
And that's not what I'm saying. The thing is everything he highlighted, like, you know, the way he's processing, how he attacks practice and absorbs material. Like, that's just every linebacker, especially when you're playing at Notre Dame. Like, these are all guys who are doing these things at a high level. So I guess there was nothing that really was like that stood out as a differentiator until he started talking about what I was defining as versatility of, we can put him inside, we can put him outside. And again, the very last thing he said was if needed. Right. And so like, it feels like if we need to put him around in different packages because we feel like we are deficient here or there, or maybe on a 3rd and long, we'd like to have a guy off the edge that brings a little bit more athleticism. Well, that's kind of what I was getting at.
But he's also trending right now toward potentially being the number 2 middle linebacker off the bat behind a, you know, like another really good middle linebacker. So like that alone, I think, says that it's looking up for KBA. I think Tommy says celebrity death match between the Stiers, the younger, and Derek Calmer. Let's get it on. You ready for that?
There's only the first of all, there's only one celebrity in that sentence. So we have to amend the title. But I mean, we're in the same city. I'm ready at any time, any place. We can
how close to Cleveland is Derek? Like, is he in Cleveland?
He's on the outsides. I think he's like a 20. He's in the suburbs of Cleveland.
Okay.
My understanding is like 20 to 25 minutes.
I'm surprised you still you haven't gotten together on that yet.
He keeps inviting me, but then we'll
yeah. I know.
But then it'll be like a second before whatever and then get mad that I don't show up.
You've
but.
Got your things to do, right? Very, very important stuff going on over there in Cleveland.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill in the blank. Notre Dame quarterback commit Deuce Knight has been invited to the Elite 11 finals after topping the leaderboard at his Elite 11 regional this weekend.
I missed where the blank was supposed to be inserted. I'm sorry.
I don't know. It's blank.
It's electric. I mean, Deuce Knight.
This is what happens when you send me these things like 5 minutes before the show starts.
No, so. it's electric that Deuce Knight is continuing to be like the best of the best. Like he is like, I love the Elite 11 stuff because it drops to me like all the labels, right? Like it's just quarterbacks are here. Let's grind, let's figure this thing out. And so that to continue to see Deuce Knight excel is like, it's good and bad. It's like a double-edged sword in my opinion, because with the more that he does, I think he's going to get more interest out of more people, right? And like, I know that he's all on Notre Dame and da 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 da, but until he is, you know, not his name is inked to the paper, you're always going to feel some type of way. And so while it's like really cool to see him, you know, kill these quarterback camps and be one of the best of the best, it also is kind of like that pit in your stomach of, all right, let's not get like too popular here or too good here because we got a good thing going on. It's like, let's stay with Notre Dame, right? Like only Notre Dame needs to know about you, not the entire, you know, all those teams down south type situations.
Well, so, your buddy Lane Kiffin is all over him. I mean, Lane, you know, they want him down there.
I've heard about it. He keeps showing up to his basketball games and stuff.
Right.
Or he was.
Right. Tommy, I have not seen the 40 time yet. I saw him run the 40, but I haven't seen the 40 time published anywhere yet. I was looking for it in the time that I had after Jesse sent this to me a little while ago. But yeah,
I mean, can find it.
You think he can?
Yeah, let me look around a little
bit. All right. He was just some of the video that I saw, you know, whether it was the 40 or, you know, some of the drills they had him do. He looked pretty good, and he had a man's body. You know, like he's a long, lean guy, but just, you know, looking at him with the T-shirt and, you know, the physique that he's already got as a guy who's going into a senior season, he was pretty impressive looking in it.
And this was the Oxford, Mississippi regional, right? I mean, just to kind of go off of this article here from 24/7 Sports, like, they labeled him as the alpha dog. Knight's arm strength was evident as he displayed the velocity to pierce the winds at every level, despite Mother Nature's best efforts.
Pierce the winds at every level.
And despite Mother Nature's efforts to refute, meaning it must have been a windy day out there. In addition to flashing some high arm talent throughout the day, the four-star's natural ability to operate on the move as a passer is a particular attribute that should translate seamlessly into Mike Denbrock's offense. What he feels like is, like, to me, he's the Jaden Daniels to Mike Denbrock, in my opinion, right? Like, he's the profile of Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, all, you know what I mean? All those kind of guys that are Heisman level quarterback, in my opinion. And so I just, the reason why I sent that to you is just, you know, the more and more you see that he's doing well, it's just the more and more you get excited, because I think he's going to be ultimately the best quarterback that Notre Dame has seen come through from start to finish in a really long time.
I think so too. And I mean, he's still, you know, like, to your point about the worries that he's going to go someplace else and just get more interest. I mean, he's already got a lot of interest, but you still see him out there all the time tweeting about Notre Dame, tweeting at other guys and stuff like that. So obviously, it's always a concern until they sign on the dotted line. But I don't think I'm any more concerned with him than anybody else. DJ, coming in hot. Hit the like button. Do it. Do it now. We appreciate it. Thank you, DJ. So fill in the blank. Notre Dame women's basketball player KK Bransford entering the transfer portal is blank.
It's unfortunate, right? But at the end of the day, there's always going to be a transfer. And the reason why there's always going to be a transfer is because you're playing at the University of Notre Dame. These players are the top players in the country. KK Bransford was a McDonald's All-American when she came into Notre Dame, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you're one of the top players in the country, you know, you're a McDonald's All-American and you're coming into Notre Dame and you're playing, you know, you have the talent to be the girl, right? Like, to be the lead of a team. And then when you see, you know, Hannah Hidalgo, Olivia Miles, Sonia Citron, you start to kind of see your role, or, you know, your spotlight dwindle down a little bit. And it's natural to want to be the head of the show, right? With so much talent, KK Bransford probably feels like, I could go to another school and be the person who is leading this team, right? Like, I can be the alpha of this team. And again, it sucks, but I mean, I've already seen that two UConn girls have hit the transfer portal. Like, this happens to programs like Notre Dame, to UConn, South Carolina. When you're the top end programs, these really good players get restless. They want to play more and they want to have more of a spotlight.
She only started 19 times over the last 2 years. And as you said, this was the two-time Ohio Gatorade Player of the Year, Anna McDonald's High School All-American. You have higher expectations. And when you factor in everybody who's already coming back, who you touched on, you've got Hannah Hidalgo back. You've got Sonia Citron back. Good chance you get Maddie Westfeld back. And then, of course, you're getting Olivia Miles back from injury next year. That's four right there. You know, and one of them is a forward. The other three are guards. And then you've got Kate Koval coming in. You've still got Nat Marshall. And I wouldn't be shocked if they bring in at least two more transfers. They're probably going to go, you know, you got Emma Risch coming back. I didn't even think about that. You know, she's much more of a shooter. And that's what hurts KK's game, is she cannot stretch the floor. Her whole game is mid-range and in, slash to the basket, pretty good defensive player. But she's only, you know, she hit 6 3-pointers this season after hitting one all of last year. So in 2 years, she's hit 7 3-pointers. And that's not what the game is. For a guard, you know, you've got to at least be a threat from the perimeter. And you would see, you know, players play off, you know, defenders play off her quite a bit, especially toward the end of the season. And you would also see her, unfortunately, sometimes kind of take probably some ill-timed shots, because it gets to a point where you're always coming off the bench. And now it's like, well, you know,
I got to get my shot up.
I want to get my shot up. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, so
it's kind of like now or never. Like, if I don't get my shot up, I'm not going to get my shots up. You know what I mean? It's just, I have a very limited window. You feel the pressure of, okay, I know this is my window. Let's maybe get not bad shots, but maybe shots that you wouldn't normally take. You know what I mean? Like, like an 80 to 90% of your shot.
And to, you know, DeKalb's point was, you know, he said he was, you know, it seems like a, you know, kind of a shocking move. And he says he'd rather come off the bench and have a chance at a national championship than go start at another school. Well, unfortunately, as Jesse talked about with where we are with the transfer portal, that's not what most people want. Most people want to go out and
they want to have their Caitlin Clark moment, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And, you know, let's, because it is also a transfer portal era, you know, transfer portal and NIL era, even though I think, you know, she's, you know, has good NIL opportunities here at Notre Dame. If you go to another big school someplace and you're in the starting lineup, potentially gives you even, you know, more and bigger NIL opportunities. So all those things are intertwined. I mean, you know, very good player, but I just, you know, when this was announced, it was, if I was going to, you know, when I kind of sat there and was thinking about it over the last week, you know, who's coming back? Would anyone want to go? Everyone else, you know, most people are talking about other players in terms of who might enter the transfer portal. This is probably the least surprising to me, because of all these things that we talked about. You know, she was still the first player off the bench, but not in the starting lineup on a regular basis. They want to be out there starting and having a chance to get theirs.
I almost view the transfer portal now as just like trades. Like, Notre Dame is giving KK Bransford the transfer portal KK Bransford, and it's going to spit something out in return. Yeah. Right? It's like almost like you're just, the transfer portal is like legal trading without contracts. Almost, it feels like, to me.
Right. Well, you know, and I didn't even mention, I don't think Cass Prosper potentially, you know, like if she's fully healthy next year. So you're already getting Miles Prosper and Rish back. So that's three people right there that you're competing with time for. Miles is going to be, you know, like she, like the, you know, they, everyone talked about the big three this year. If you like West, you get Westbelt back, it's going to be the big four plus, you know, adding Koval next year. It's going to be a pretty dangerous.
I mean, there's a reason why they're number three in the way too early rankings already.
Right. Right. And I've seen some people, I can't remember where I saw this comment today, but somebody was asking about, you know, does Neil Ivey, you know, have enough players on scholarship? Well, you know, why doesn't she have more? You know, let's remember, she had a very, like, when you look at all the players who were wearing sweatsuits at the end of the bench this year, there were, you know, like a lot more than they had planned on. They started the season with Emma Risch and Kasan Prosper in the lineup as part of the regular rotation, not to mention Kylie Watson, obviously a fixture as a starter. So, like, she actually had, you know, a couple more players than she typically has this year compared to her first couple of years. It's just that they had the unfortunate run of all those injuries. You know, I keep saying it, but if they're healthy, they're going to be really good next year. Really good. Like, ESPN's already got them in their way too early top three. I think they had them number three. So more players on the bench than coaches. That's right. TD for ND. Like, there were. All right, so South Carolina beat Caitlin Clark in Iowa in the women's national championship game. Here is South Carolina head coach Dawn Staley after the game.
I really would just like to say that I have to congratulate Iowa on an incredible season. Awesome, awesome. And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on a collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. We appreciate you.
Okay, so there again, Dawn Staley, the South Carolina head coach after winning the championship. I don't know about you, Jess, but I'm just about worn out, tired of all this GOAT talk. And like everyone has to talk about GOATs and all that kind of stuff. Can we just put it to rest? Like, do we have to keep talking about that?
Well, yeah, it's just frustrating because I don't understand why we can't just say Caitlin Clark is one of the greatest players to ever play and call it good at that. Like, I really liked how Dawn Staley mentioned her. She said she is one of the GOATs in our game, and she always will be. I don't think you have to say that she is the greatest, or, you know, I don't understand why it's always a competition or let's line up the track record of, you know, who is the ultimate GOAT. Like, this is a great player who influenced the game in a tremendous way. And I thought Dawn Staley said that great. And I think that that's the way everyone else needs to look at it. It's just, she's a great player. She helped the game out a ton. And I hope that it continues beyond her. I hope that she is able to, you know, motivate or inspire a generation of young girls who want to play basketball and continue to bring, you know, the spotlight to the sport. And so I just think it's rather than, hey, let's like, is she the GOAT? Let's just be thankful for what she has contributed to the women's game.
She's one of the greatest players of all times. And all these, you know, like Breanna Stewart was saying she's got to win a championship to be considered the GOAT. I mean, look, Breanna Stewart, like,
those girls played on the best teams ever.
Right. Like, and that's
they like, were there were four Caitlin Clarks on one team.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, to hear these UConn players take shots at Caitlin Clark is just ridiculous because of what you said. Like, UConn and, you know, like, go back to the Pat Summitt Tennessee years. It's like every player was a Diana Taurasi or a Sue Bird or a Breanna Stewart or a Maya Moore or, you know, Candace Parker, on and on and on. You know, the talent was just, or, you know, the rosters were loaded with this five-star talent. And essentially, you know, like Vince was talking last week about, well, those Iowa players, they're, you know, they're really good. They're nice role players. You know, like Stolke, I think, has the, you know, the biggest upside of any of them. They're good players. They know their system. They know their roles on that team. But Caitlin Clark completely elevated that team. With no Caitlin Clark, Iowa's not in the national championship.
Oh, not one bit.
2 years in a row. They're not even close to it. They might be, you know, like a first or second round NCAA tournament team, but they're not what they were without Caitlin Clark. So it's just completely different. It's an apples to oranges argument when these UConn players start, you know, setting the standard with winning championships, because that's all they're used to. I mean, they've got more championships than anybody.
Those teams could go out and probably win gold medals for the U.S. in the Olympics.
Right.
Like, to be honest with you, those UConn women teams that, you know, had star after, like, they could have went and won gold medals. Like, it's just not a fair comparison. And you brought up another good point. It's just like, these UConn players consistently bashing on someone like Caitlin Clark was just not a good scene, in my opinion. Well,
the fact that you've already got Rebecca Lobo sitting, you know, in that chair on, you know, on the main ABC broadcast for the Final Four. And I think she does a good enough job, but everybody knows she's Rebecca Lobo, you know, from the UConn Huskies. So you've already got someone from UConn sitting in the big chair on the TV broadcast. Then you have the Bird Taurasi. It's just too much UConn. They're, you know, like,
right.
You need somebody else from another school. There are plenty of Tennessee players, whether it's, you know, like Andrea Carter does a great job in the studio, and I wouldn't want to see her leave the studio, but like, that's someone who could easily, you know, be in one of those seats. Like, if you're going to do the Bird Taurasi show, I think there needs to be a player
from another program that's in there with them to just not let, you know, to kind of some checks and balances, you know, to keep them, you know, sort of to check them a little bit, just like you've got, you know, Barkley, Kenny the Jet Smith, and Shaq on Inside the NBA. You need somebody from a different program to kind of,
yeah. I mean, and you got different, that's a point guard, a power forward, and a center, right? So yeah. It's just like different teams, different positions, different perspectives. But I just ultimately don't understand, like, what gives them not the right, but like those UConn players bashing her and saying that she needs to accomplish this or that or this or that. Like, it just felt, it didn't feel right. And, you know, I get it. Like, every rookie or freshman, quote unquote, is always going to catch a hard time from the vets. Like, that's no matter if you're going into high school, college, or professionals. Like, no one likes the rookie. No one likes the freshman. You know what I mean? Like, they're the grunt. They get picked on, whatever. But, like, I don't understand the hate for someone who has the potential to bring excitement to the WNBA like they did college basketball. Like, you should want a player like this in your league because of the potential right. exposure that she can bring to you. Because you know what that means? More fans, more sales and tickets, more TV, more eyeballs on the TV. And that just means more money in the bigger contracts for those women players that already feel that they're at a disadvantage when compared to the WNBA, or sorry, the NBA. And so, again, why would you not be rooting for someone like Caitlin Clark to join your league when ultimately she can generate more revenue? That's just my opinion on the situation.
Because it's ultimately more jealousy. You know, like Diana Taurasi got to be one of the biggest stars in the game. And it's like she's been playing professionally for 20 years now. Like, you know, you're going to retire at some point. Can't you just be grateful that someone is going to, as you just said, bring more attention to your sport rather than crap all over them because you're jealous of them, basically, of the attention that they're getting, you know? Like, you got to win your championships.
Yeah, and no one did that to them along the way either, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, no one was, like, sitting there questioning them about their talent or their project, how they'll project into professionals, or that they need to accomplish this or that to validate how good of a player they are. It just simply wasn't like that.
Absolutely. So the women's championship game just came out this afternoon, right before the show started. 18.7 million viewers. So each of Caitlin Clark's last three games, Elite Eight, Final Four, National Championship, set a new viewership record, 18.7. Coming into this year, you know, coming into the Elite Eight a week ago, I think, what was it, like 10.7 was the record from last year's championship mm-hmm. game. So the viewership nearly doubled from last year's championship game to this. Do you buy or sell tonight's men's game getting to that number, 18.7 million?
Yeah, so women peaked at 18.7 million, and it said that they had 24 million, averaged 18.7 and peaked at 24 million at one point. I don't know if the men are going to beat that, because the thing about Caitlin Clark is she is getting – casual fans to watch the game, right? And I don't think the men have anything to do that. Like, they're not just getting people to click over because, like, everyone knows the Caitlin Clark name. And so whether or not you're a basketball fan, a women's basketball fan, like, you could be a casual, you know, I would say maybe female, and you want to feel empowered or kind of feel this movement. So you're just going to tune in because you've heard about this Caitlin Clark. I don't think the men have anyone in that. They have good, you know, the returning national championship at UConn.
You mean Zach Edey doesn't push the needle like Caitlin yeah. Clark?
Yeah, the 7'4 giant doesn't quite push the needle for me. And so I honestly don't think they're going to, because I think unless you're like a fan of men's college basketball or of these two programs, you're not just getting the stray viewer. That's ultimately what I was trying to say, is like Caitlin Clark got a bunch of stray viewers because she's Caitlin Clark. I don't think the men's game has something like that right now.
I agree. I don't think the men's I think maybe they come close, you know, like in the 17, 18 million ballpark. It is going to be on TBS compared to broadcast. You know, the women's game was on ABC, you know, and that's a big part of this contract as well. The fact that they're all, you know, the men's is alternating back and forth every year between TBS and CBS. The Kansas Carolina championship game a couple of years ago got a nice number, but those are two of the bluest blood programs that you could have. Like, that's a dream matchup for any TV network, to have Kansas against North Carolina in the national championship game. That's not UConn Purdue. It just doesn't move the needle the same way. So
Decaf gets it.
No interest in the men's game tonight. I'll be watching the Cubs, is what Decaf said. And it's...
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm going to be honest. It's going to be tough because we're going to talk about these tip-off times. Now, look. The women's game is tipped off at 3:00 p.m, 2 years in a row. There was some grumbling about that. The men's game tonight is going to tip off tonight at 9:20. There's obviously grumbling about that as well. Like, what do you think about these times?
I've got no problem with the women's game tipping off. I'm glad you've combined this into one question. I loved the women's tip yesterday. It was I had enough to get up. I had enough to go walk around. We got to downtown. We went to the Science Center, had a couple of drinks, went to a bar and caught the end of the game in downtown Cleveland. Like, it was great, right? Like, it felt like I could get everything else I wanted done in my day and the national championship fit into that schedule.
Yeah.
And then I could just continue to keep going, right? And the late game sucks. I don't want to stay up that late for it. And if you had to pick between the two, I would take the women's start over the men's start. And again, that's why I'm glad you combined the question. I would much rather have the women's start than the men's start. I don't know if it being in Arizona has something to do with it because it's not a 6:20 tip until local time.
They always tip off the men's championship at 9:20. It's ridiculous. It doesn't matter where they play it. It's ridiculous. And
like, it's that popular of an event. It's not at the same time.
Right. And I mean, the fact that the women's game in the middle of the afternoon pulled that kind of number just shows you that people will watch if you put it on a time where everyone can watch. And people always talk about, oh, the kids. The kids were able to watch Caitlin Clark. They're going to be in bed tonight when, you know, this game tips off. Most of them are going to be in bed or heading.
And they're returning back to school after spring break. That's Eclipse Day.
Everyone's
back crashing and burning.
You know, after. Yeah, that's right. The women's fans complaining about the 3 o'clock tip off. They're saying, oh, we're not good enough for primetime, that kind of thing. Well, they just proved you don't need to put it in primetime on a Sunday afternoon when everybody's off work. I mean, that's why so many weeknight games get pushed to primetime, because people are at work. The NFL plays at 1 o'clock and 4:30. Every Sunday, and people watch that like it's always, you know, it's the most viewed, you know, TV programming year in and year out. Like, they've got no problem with it. I've got no problem with it. I thought it was perfect. And you're also not going, like, Sunday night prime time is also one of the bigger, you know, there's not as much probably on right now, but it is still, from a TV standpoint, that's still where you put some of your best programming is Sunday night. And so you don't have to worry about going up against any of that either if you put it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the fact that a record 18.7 million people, you know, 24 million with an average of 18.7 just proves the point. 920 is ridiculous. Like, I didn't think that I was going to be able to make it. You know, remember last week when I guess it was Friday night. I didn't think I was going to be able to stay up for Iowa UConn for the women's Final Four, you know, in the second semifinal. I'm not nearly as interested in Purdue and UConn as I was in Iowa UConn on the women's side Friday, though.
Especially at halftime, if it's not close, you're going to get a lot of people who click away.
Yep. Salty asking what happened to Kansas. Now, are we talking about when they played in the championship game that I just referenced, you know, the championship game that they won 2 years ago against North Carolina? Or are we talking about this season? Basically, a couple of their
best player was hurt this year.
Yeah, that's right.
And not only was it their best player, it was a guy who was like Naismith, like, you know, like he had he been healthy, he would have been a Naismith finalist.
Lance McCullough Jr. That's right. So, I mean, it happens.
Like, no excuse for the Notre Dame women's, though. Am I right?
For what?
Injuries.
What are you talking about?
What? They continued on.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
They found a way.
All right, Jess, fill in the blank. John Calipari leaving Kentucky after 15 years in Lexington to take over at Arkansas is blank.
It's shocking, honestly. I never thought Calipari would leave Kentucky for another SEC school. And it's shocking. Again, like, I always throw the term out like lateral, right? And I don't know what the next move is in terms, like, can he go any higher? It felt like Kentucky, for what he, like, what he wants to do, it felt like Kentucky was always going to be home for him, right? And like, when you talk about getting some of the best players, them going on to the NBA, helping them in their career, you know, preparing them for the NBA, etc., it felt like Kentucky was always going to be the best place to do that. And so to go to another SEC school is really shocking. And like, I remember going back to like 2014, when LeBron was going to come back to Cleveland for the second time, and the Cavs had the number one overall draft pick, they threw a ton of money at John Calipari to ask him to become their next head coach.
Yep.
He turned it down. And so clearly he wants to stay in college. And so how much of a pay upgrade is he getting? I don't know. But did you see the video of him today walking his dog in the stroller?
Pushing the stroller.
You know what that gave, what vibes that gave to me? I think you'll appreciate this. That gave me George Bluth vibes off Arrested Development.
I love it.
Doesn't it though? Like, he's like walking around knowing he's kind of a wanted man, being like, oh, you're coming up to me asking me? As I'm walking my dog in a stroller on like a very public, you know, road. Like, it felt very, I don't know. I just, as soon as I saw that, I was like, this feels like George Bluth off Arrested when he's like in hiding or whatever.
Yeah.
But it ultimately, to answer your question, it's shocking. And
yeah, I was shocked too, but there's a different level of expectation, obviously. Now, you know, 15 years at Kentucky is a long time, and he had a lot of success, but you know, there was already talk when they lost to Oakland, you know, that, wow, this could be it for Calipari. I didn't really think it would come to that, but money talks, I guess, because between Jerry Jones and,
I was going to say, do you hear the Jerry Walmart Jones
family
is funding,
and the Tyson
funding
Chicken
this?
Family? Yeah, they're like, they're throwing all kinds of money together for him down there. And it sounds like Calipari's going to kind of shift his philosophy as well, because he had stuck, you know, pretty hard to that, to the one and done guns. And I think that that's why he didn't have more consistent success here down the stretch. Like, he's going to go to the portal more. And, you know, those kind of things. And
so you're telling me it's going to be more of team basketball.
Theoretically.
Because honestly, and I don't think this is a bad thing, John Calipari prided himself off of helping those one and done guys
be
get
first
to the
round
NBA. Like, that was part of the gig to him. Like,
right.
He compensated not winning national championship. I mean, at least he says so, right? Like, everyone's not going to be like, oh, you know, I don't care about winning national championship. But like, part of the process to him, or what made the job gratifying or fulfilling to him, is knowing that he would get some of the top talent in the world and maturing these men as much as possible to go on to the NBA and be as successful as possible. Like, that was a part of his role. And so for him to step away from that and be more team basketball, and like you said, maybe 2 to 4 year guys and transfer portal guys, I think we might see like Memphis John Calipari come back, you know, when he had Derrick Rose there. It's exciting. I think it's exciting for college basketball.
Yeah. I mean, Arkansas is going to be a player again, like they were. I know you're way too young to remember Nolan Richardson and 40 Minutes of Hell and all that kind of stuff. But those were fun days.
I mean, it felt like Arkansas was good at football and basketball, like right before I was around, like the 80s and 90s.
That's true. Just like the Cowboys were right. good at something before you were around. That's exactly right. But, you know, again, different era. You know, back then, the last time Arkansas was really good when guys stuck around for 4 years, Corliss Williamson and Scotty Thurman and those kind of guys. But it'll be fun to kind of see what Calipari can bring to that.
It's an evolution. How much is he willing or going to change at the end of the day?
Yeah, back in the day, that's right. UNLV was relevant. UCLA was a power. Duke, all those different programs. Tommy says we haven't seen Jesse's prop bets.
I've been doing good with baseball so far. I'm waiting for the season to kind of progress a little bit. It's hard with baseball when you have 162 games. You can't really figure out trends in the first week.
True.
But it's fun. Right.
We'll be looking forward to that then. All right, Jess. Appreciate you coming in today. Get some sleep tonight. Sleep it off. Yeah, one more thing.
Nope.
That's it?
I was just telling myself I'm number one because showed up today and Vince didn't.
That's right. You're number one. You're the favorite co-host today.
Thank you.
Vince falls to number four, I think, by the time the week is over, right? All right, well, that's going to do it. Hit that like button before you leave. And, of course, subscribe, rate, review, listen to your podcasts as well. We appreciate you, and we will talk to you. Tommy's calling you out for no showing on Friday.
I didn't no show. I let the people know I had obligations. Vince is scheduled. Vince is anticipated to be here on Friday. He is expected to be here on Friday.
Vince put together this spreadsheet that everyone plugs in days on and off and all that kind of stuff. I think Vince has taken advantage of the spreadsheet. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Ivy Nation Sports Talk.